Welcome to iConversations. I'm Laura Fantacci, co-founder of Wardrobe Icons, and today I'm joined by our features editor, Brooke Lepore-Trench, to talk to one of my industry heroes. Elizabeth Saltzman. Who works with the likes of Jodie Comer and Saoirse Ronan. The topic is confidence, and I thought of Elizabeth straight away because more than anyone else I know, she works with clients in the public eye to ensure they feel their absolute best on a truly global stage.
Introducing iConversations, and we are here with Laura and Brooke, and me, Elizabeth Saltzman. Welcome!
We're here with Elizabeth Saltzman. Yay. In your beautiful home.
Thank you. To be bored. No. No way. Oh, yes way.
No way.
Quite the contrary. But I was thinking yesterday about your questions, and I think when we first interviewed you for Wardrobe Icons and you gave a really beautiful and very honest interview, what I came away with was that your job, what you do with your clients, is so much more than just dressing them for an event. I kind of feel like you really deeply care about the women that you work with, and you build a relationship based on trust. And then once you've built that relationship, these women really trust you and listen to you and feed off your opinion. And I think that you really help them to face a very critical and sort of fierce industry. So when Brick and I were thinking about what word can we use with Elizabeth, we felt like we could really learn a lesson in confidence from you. So I just wanted to ask you, firstly, what does confidence mean to you? What does it look like? What is it?
Wow, what a wonderful first question. I'm glad I'm not prepared for this at all, because you'll get a more honest, direct answer, which I'll think about it at about 3 a.m. going, oh, I should have said that. I think confidence to me is inside you having the fear of life but walking through the ring of fire anyway. And that means that you were able to cross something that scared you or walk through something that you were afraid of in a way that's much harder than people actually think. Everyone thinks that people have such easy lives, that we have such wonderful, easy lives, that I have a magical closet, that I can just pull things out of, that all the women I work with are perfect, and that they're really confident. But they're not. They're just like anybody else. They're women. They're people. They have emotions, and they have flaws, and they have fears. So I guess confidence truly is to me is being happy with who you are and happy with what you look like on the inside, because it'll show on the outside pretty easily.
Mm. My six-year-old, she was listening to the conversation I was having with my husband on the car talking about today, and she said, I think confidence is really believing in yourself, Mommy. And I was like, wow, that's a deep thought. But I said, but how do you get to that point? Because to me, confidence is probably like a little toolbox inside you, and it's usually filled with past experiences where you haven't felt adequate or happy or in a good place, and you go back to that toolbox and go, okay, how can I make myself feel adequate and happy? And so it's made of like muscle memory in many ways as well.
Yeah, I think your daughter's right on, though. Yeah. I think that it's even more than that, though. I think that people who have been shoved down or who have been hurt or who care about everything that they've heard or read or who read the mean comments maybe need to realize how lucky they already are in life and not to take it super seriously. I think what I have is the lack of confidence in certain things, so I overcompensate with silliness or humor or you know, something, yeah. It's not good humor, by the way, like ridiculous. Like I'm a child. I got into a bag this morning because I couldn't think of what someone was going to wear at this afternoon's fitting. And just to hide from my lack of understanding of what I was going to do this afternoon, I jumped into a bag and, you know, hid behind silliness because it took me a minute to step out of my comfort zone to focus on, all right, how do I make something out of nothing? Mm. And you know, I just really believe that we all have so much, not just in things or in beauty, but we have running water. We have shelter. We have love. We have peace. We don't have gunfire. We are so blessed that if people don't start thinking about what we do have rather than what we don't have, it's going to be even more harmful than all these people that are suffering because of lack of confidence because they look at Instagram or Snap or magazines or red carpets or movies and see that everyone's life is perfect. I think the big thing we have to instill in people is that we are, as I always say on repeat, you know, we are the human race. We are one thing. We are people. If we just have to be nicer to each other, that will build confidence. Confidence is also not bitchery. It's not putting other people down because you feel great. Confidence is empowering yourself and those around you.
And connection.
It's much more heartfelt or soul-filled.
I think for the listeners that maybe don't understand, you know, the pressure around what you do, you know, red carpet and premieres, can you talk us through the process a little bit? How does it work? How do you start working with a client and what does the process look like?
It's very important for me to meet each person first. And I ask a few questions, and it's all based on the word you're discussing today. I ask them what they love about themselves. Mm-hmm. I ask them what body part they dislike. Mm-hmm. I ask them what colors are their comfort zone. I ask them, you know, to walk in heels, to walk in flats, to talk to me about the whole thing, what's important, what their relationship, their love life is like, what they need to say to the public, what movie role they're trying to get, what do they want to be seen like, what don't they want to be seen like, what are they willing to do, what magazine do they hope to grace the cover of, what podcast do they want to do, what television show do they want to be in. You know, we talk through everything, not just fashion, because fashion's the easy part. Almost.
Yeah.
The hard part is finding that person and knowing that they're going to have their shoulders back, their head up, but not because I tell them those three things of girls up, which is tits up, shoulders back, and eyes forward, you know, and please don't look over your shoulder and kick up your heel. You don't need to do that. You know, you don't see men doing that.
No.
Women don't need to do that, unless the back of the dress is so fabulous that, to me, it's about meeting with them first. And then deciding if it's a good fit. I then get my tailor to come over and we do the most horrific measuring you've ever had done in life. Which is just so I can build a mannequin of them.
A real life one.
I don't do a real life one because it's too expensive, but I would really, really like to. But I do one so that we don't have to waste time in fittings. Yeah. I can measure things as they come in. I can tell a designer that won't work because of this. I don't like to waste other people's times as much as I don't want my time wasted.
Yeah.
I really treat people like I want to be treated. That's the big thing. How I want everyone to be treated with, you know, dignity, kindness. You know, everyone's on the same platform.
And how do you, because it's sometimes you must have quite, you know, brutally honest conversations about what fits, what doesn't, what looks good. How do you, you know, balance that honesty with, you know, with also being kind and nice and not hurting your sort of potentially hurting your client's feelings?
I think that it's really important to say to people, you are going out there, they're going to judge you, not me. It's my work that gets judged, but unfortunately, it's written about you more than me, even though everyone's a critic and I hear a lot of opinions now. And I actually enjoy getting them because it teaches me sometimes. But I say to people, you're going to be out there. So you want to feel your best. To feel your best, it doesn't mean going on a diet. It means getting enough rest. It means Pilates, yoga, mental wellness, whatever it, however you feel your best, let's put you out there, because I'm not going to put you in 500 pairs of Spanx to try and give you a 22 waist when you have a 26 waist or a 28 waist or a 34 waist. Those waists are fine. If you are happy with your body, I am going to dress you. Mm-hmm. If you are unhappy with your body, I want to help you get to the place where you're confident, comfortable, and in control of your emotions. There's nothing worse than seeing someone who doesn't feel good on a red carpet. There's no body that you can give me that I wouldn't work with because of size if someone felt comfortable in their skin.
The weird thing, we were talking about this, is that you're working with women who are so talented in their world. So they're acting, they're on a film set, but they're judged a lot of the time on this walk from a car to a screening. Their work is a measure of who they are and a measure of their success. But when it comes to public opinion and because of social media, this stretch of red carpet has this ripple effect. It sort of, now it's seen everywhere. And so you've been talking to us about how you make them feel good. Are there other ways that you have to help them navigate that? Because you also work with young actresses as well as, like, really, would we say, seasoned or experienced women who obviously have been there a lot. What is that process like?
It's fairly easy. I tell them it's a role. It's all I do.
That's
I
such say, a good idea.
That's
yeah.
all you're doing. You are playing a movie star version of yourself. You are giving the audiences a glimpse of a really dollied up you. So if you just think of it as a half an hour role, think of yourself as a supermodel if you want to. Think of yourself as someone that you had pinned up as a kid in your room because you thought they were so glamorous. Think of your mother if she was your icon. Think of whoever you thought struck a pose. That's all I do. And I always sort of sew in notes to their heads before they go. You know, honestly, sometimes I sew it into the dress. There might be a word or
an apparent. That's so wonderful.
Just something that they know is close to them, or give them a crystal or a something that sounds really goofy, but it's just, all it means is, they have something.
It's so powerful, that shift. And you're also working with people who are, that speaks to them, but also that shift works with us in regular life too sometimes. So amazing thing to do.
They're regular people.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know, keep reminding me.
People forget that they're us. It's not them versus us. It's that they chose to be actors. They didn't choose to be models.
Yes.
They didn't choose to have their private life invaded. It comes with the territory. And so be it. They've all accepted it. But you can be as out there as you want to be.
Yeah.
Or as private as you want to be. Mm. Most of my girls are not on Instagram. You know, most of my girls are not on any social media because trying to be themselves. They're young and they're trying to not be influenced by all that.
You sound like someone that has got it honed, the whole, like, you've got it figured out, the confidence thing. But you also said to me that you do have lots of insecurities. And
I am racked with them. It's not like some insecurities. All I see is beautiful people in every size, shape, and form all day long, but I can't see it in myself. You know, you asked me to do pictures.
Yes.
A year before.
Yeah.
And I think my office would have probably said, she really doesn't do that.
No.
I don't do it because I can't hear what I can give to someone else because no one's given it to me. So I sit there and I just go, it'll be fine. It's just
a
picture.
Great. You were great.
But it's what I can't. I am racked with it. I don't like so many parts of my body. I don't like the fact that I'm 54 now.
Oh my God.
I don't like the fact that I still think I'm the same age as my children, literally. So when they say, we're going out to this club, I'm like, oh, I'm coming with you.
And
they
like,
just look at me like, no. You're kind of cool, but you're not that cool. I don't do a lot to help myself. And it's probably time for me to focus on me. There's, by the way, biggest lesson learned.
Yeah.
No joke about this. Yeah. Make time for yourself before you give to others, because it'll fall apart at some point. Mm-hmm. And there's been times when I've come off of really hard trips, and hard both physically and mentally. I mean, people think it's easy that we travel with 12 suitcases, but when you're on a budget job, you can't even hire someone to help you with them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's grueling. And I'm not complaining. I'm thrilled with it. But I've come off of jobs and I just thought, that's it. I'm actually, if I don't take a break, I'm going to break. Mm-hmm. And I sit there and I say, what would I say to anybody else that came to me? I'd say, all right, time out.
Yeah.
Right now, go get a soak in. Mm-hmm. Like, go to your happy place, whatever that is. If it's reading a book, if it's, you know, going to a sauna, if it's going to a Pilates class, if it's just taking
do
a walk.
Do something for yourself. Yeah.
Do it for yourself.
And going back in time a little bit, who was your first client? But and when did you realize that you had this power within you to build confidence and help people feel adequate and happy with themselves?
I think it probably started with the first summer job as a clothing salesperson, when I would tell people, no, don't buy that. That's flattering, not flattering.
Yes.
You know, and I'd say, try this. And I'd talk them out of a big expensive purchase of which I was going to get commission on, because I didn't want them to go home and not feel great. I don't think I realized what I was doing at the time.
Yeah.
I was just being honest. And I'd find them something else, or I'd put together different outfits, or just by going out to clubs as a kid, watching how people dressed and then trying it on friends. I think my first client was myself. I think my first real client of celebrity status happened when I started working at Giorgio Armani.
Yeah.
When all the VIPs came in and they would give them to me to dress, but I still didn't realize what I was doing. I think I then went to magazines and you're styling people all the time.
And you were magazines in the States?
In the States, American Vogue first.
Yes.
You know, I think one of my favorite shoots was with Uma Thurman when she was just a kid. She was a model.
Wow.
You know, we're still best friends.
Yes.
You know, from that shoot. And Mary Greenwell was the makeup artist. Yes, I mean, yes. Patrick Demarchelier was the photographer.
Wow, that was your first shoot.
That was one of my first big celebrity shoots, but it was, you know, she was a proper teenager. But I think those things happened. And then Vanity Fair, I brought in stylists.
Yes.
So that I could oversee it and really get the feel, and we would work like that. And then to become the next version of myself, it was all Giancarlo Giametti, and who said to me, you and Gwyneth are friends. You and Gwyneth live near each other. Why aren't you styling her? And I just thought, wait, what? What?
And that was when she was living
here
in the UK. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it didn't dawn on me that I could do that.
So you DM'd her? No, because there was no Instagram
there was
at the
no
time.
DM. No. We were buddies. And she and I got together at home. And I just said to her, so, what design? I mean, that's when the question started, because we were already friends, but I didn't know what designer she loved.
Yes.
I didn't know what she didn't like. I just knew that she always rocked an amazing look, and she was spectacular, and she was beautiful, and she was my friend, and that I loved her dearly, and it was interesting.
I was really interested in knowing, there's all this internal work that comes with confidence, which we've been talking about, but also fashion can be powerful. Fashion can transform you. Sometimes you can be kind of feeling it and put something on and then feel amazing. I bet you've seen that so many times. Like you say, you know, you're working with clients who also are stepping into a persona. But have you seen dresses do that to people?
One of my first questions to people is, what color do you dislike? And I usually put them in that color first.
Really? That's so interesting.
The reason people dislike a color usually is because it looks great on them, or it's something your mother's always told you you look good in, or and you just want to fight it. I have it with a lot of people, so I don't tell them that. Now they'll know, but I. Fuck. My thing is that I had it happen to me with Andre Leontali, who we were at in Paris at Couture, and it was my first time going to Couture, and I didn't know what to wear. And I certainly didn't own any long gowns, and I was young and always had a blazer, always had a, you know, white dress, always had a good pair of slacks, but I just didn't know. And we had to go to dinner, and it was a dinner at Karl Lagerfeld's house, and he said, "Well, darling, what are you going to wear?" In his voice, I won't even try and imitate it because it's too brilliant. And he said, "Let's just go through the archives of Chanel."
Oh, wow. And, sorry, we need a wow moment.
Really, really exciting. And he pulled out a little navy blue chiffon dress with spaghetti straps, triangle bra top, and an Ampere, you know, waistband, and three layers of chiffon. And I turned to him and I said, "I don't do triangle tops. I definitely don't wear chiffon, and I am not a layer cake." And I remember this so well. He goes, "Put it on." Just barked at me, "Put it on." To this day, it's my favorite dress. I still have it in my closet. I've lent it to probably 20 people. It's magic. I don't know what it did, but it accentuated what I did have, and it hid what I didn't have. And I don't know, that man's a genius.
Was that his eye? Was that?
Yes, that's his eye. And that's when you can see somebody else in it. What you can't see on yourself, or what sometimes you think is marvelous, and then you realize it's not so marvelous. Like, you get to a fitting room with a dress you just know is going to work, and you put it on, and it's just awful. And
yeah, you feel it can like, be like the upside down.
It makes you feel so bad about yourself or your body, and you get frustrated. That's my job. I know your body. My favorite thing is when I can see them put on a dress, and they've said, "No, no, no, no." And they put it on, and they go, "Wow."
And you see it. Wow. You see a change.
Wow. And everything happens. Their spine grows. Their head tilts up. They're posing in the mirror. Yeah. That's when you know you've got a winner.
Yes.
Because they feel good. They feel happy. They feel elated. They feel sexy. They feel, I don't want to use the word confident, but they feel whole.
Who were the people that shaped you in this kind of journey that maybe, I remember in your interview you talked about your mother and how still, and how there was one part of the interview that I thought was quite funny, that you said, "My mom used to come and pick me up at school wearing like some fabulous outfit, and I was so embarrassed. All I wanted her to wear was like what other moms were wearing, but no, there she was looking amazing." Was she someone that perhaps instilled that confidence in you from the beginning?
I think she instilled the fear that I couldn't live up to her because she was so spectacular in my eyes and everybody else. All I heard growing up was, "Oh, your mother's amazing. Oh, your mother has such good taste. Oh, your mother's the most beautiful." And I could see that. So I could never be that. And my father, who was just amazing, and he really helped me with that, saying, "You know, she's amazing, and so are you."
Wow.
You know, and so did she, but it was both of them. I think that I came from love is what really helped. But it was also people like Polly Mellon, who was the first editor that I got to assist, or Calvin Klein, or designers that I got to know and work with at an early age that believed in me, or Isaac Mizrahi, like fun, amazing talents, Marc Jacobs. You know, I had so many incredible women around me and men that were in a creative field who made me think that I was doing all right. Mm. And I think it was also just really having good friends. Being loved, I think, is half of the battle. Mm.
And you touched on social media. I'd love to know what your relationship with it is. And I suppose, you know, every time you put a woman out there, the next day you know it's going to receive...
Next day.
Oh,
next
actually,
hour.
Yeah, next hour, you're right.
Not even an hour. I often see it on social media before I see it...
Before you see it.
On Wired or Getty or one of the...
Do you feel, I know you have a personal account and I know you have a Team Saltzman account. Do you feel, what's your relationship with social media? And do you feel any pressure?
I struggle with social media. Yeah. I get screamed at about twice a day from various people, whether they be agents or my coworkers.
Why?
Or talent, saying, can you please post? You're not going to get paid unless you post. And I'm not posting. That's a fear. I have to overcome it. It's important. It's not going away. You cannot, in my position, say, I don't do social media. I haven't figured out how to do it. I need help.
Do you know, I find that fascinating because you, content-wise, you'd have so much that you could also use not on yourself. Like if the fear comes from, you know, taking a selfie or being on it. I mean, I remember you did a few maybe during the it was pre-Oscars. Yeah, you did like a little story. It was like a detail of a dress on stories, and I was like, oh my god, who is she dressing? What's that red sequin number gonna go on? And then it was just that, and I was like, oh, I want more. I want more. Like your personal account could be like snippets of behind the scenes.
I know. I have to give. Sometimes I think I do it. Don't do it for fear. Sometimes I think I don't do it because I don't want to be like everybody else.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think I'm a moron because I could get paid by every brand, you know, that wants to pay just by doing that. And that's how so much money is made. And then I could give it to charity, so I'd be doing good.
Yeah.
I could plant more trees. I mean, truly, that's the moronic side. Sometimes I think I'm just kind of saying, F you.
Maybe is it a fear of the likes? What do you think?
No, I never look at my likes. It's more that, am I showing off? Mm. Like, people are in agony in a hospital room right now. There's people who don't have water. And I'm not talking about just in third world countries. I'm talking about here.
Mm.
I just have a problem of showing off, and I have to get my head around it because it's just business.
Mm. Or you could probably see it from a slightly different point of view. Maybe that one person in the hospital room would get a giggle out of it because you are quite funny.
I think this might be your red carpet. I think this social media might be your red carpet.
I think the last question today, I'd really love to know what lessons you've learned about your own confidence and maybe I'd also like to know if you can sort of fake it a little bit, or is there anything that we can do to be in that place of feeling with our head high and confident in a room when we're perhaps not?
I fake it every day. I fake it every single day. And I'm not talking about the big O. I'm talking about I walk in and to the bathroom in the morning and I say, I have two choices to make today worth it and great and be happy, or I can see what's wrong. And I choose to see what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with confidence, yes, of course you can fake it. Think about the amount of hurt that people have or are going through divorce or someone's dying in their life or they just feel like shit and they have to get out there. And you've seen it backstage things all the time of people just head down and then they walk out. And there's that power, powerhouse. People's lives aren't perfect. Instagram should have a confessional that everyone must have to do, you know, and say, my life isn't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to show you the better parts.
Yeah.
So what lessons have I learned? I've learned that I have more than I don't have. I've learned that I can give more than hurt someone. I've learned that I can make a difference, even if it's one person at a time. And I've learned that I don't want to stop.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Elizabeth. This has been amazing.
Thanks for listening to iConversations. Turns out, talking never goes out of fashion. You can find more episodes of these insightful conversations with the women who inspire us on Apple Podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps get the word out.